Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Ricky Berry, Spud Webb, Joey Devine, Butch Graves, Ollie Mac and Cheese Johnson, Mikhail Pytras, Sean Keane, Ersan Ilyasova, Stuff the Magic Dragon, Patreons, Sanjeevan Singh, thank you Sanjeevan, Nick Banishak, thank you Nick, Jarvis, thank you Jarvis, musical guest, Big Country, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with another new episode. I'm here, as always, with my best friend, my co-host, comedian, writer, podcaster, comedian, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing great. I have a lot of jobs. I do.
You sure
do. I do it all. I wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm. Before we get started on our show today, though, some business up at the top. You can always email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Tweet at us at roundrockpod. Call us on the phone at the number the robot will say way too fast, or later in this episode. And 5-star reviews on iTunes, as always. And if you want to join our Patreon community, Sean, we've got a really amazing little community building, I think, with our Patreon.
It's very nice. Can I tell a story from the Discord, Joey?
I was going to tell a story from the Discord, okay.
Please go ahead. No, you do it. You take it.
You take it, Sean.
Well, just one of our Patreons sent another of our Patreons a care package of local beers mm-hmm. to another state.
Yeah, because it was okay. Our kind Patreon was, of course, Dubaroo.
Of course, it was Dubaroo.
Our
the goddamn
oldest
best.
Fan, not our oldest fan, but our most loyal fan, I would say. Our loyalist fan, longest. That's what I'm going to say.
No one's done more accounting and true. Stat work for the podcast than Dubaroo.
Sent our friend Mike Burchett in Portland because he got laid off an assortment of local beers to cheer him up. And you can join that community at patreon.com/roundrockpod for only $3 a month. And I'll tell you what, Dubberoo sends out way more than $3 worth of beers.
That's a very good point.
But seriously, there has also been talk of a Secret Santa. I don't know if anyone's actually going to do that, though. They were discussing it. So if you want to join an NBA Secret Santa and also organize it, you better hurry up because it's almost Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's popping off. You want to do it before Black Friday or at least before Cyber Monday.
But that, of course, is patreon.com/roundrockpod. Thanks for being such good guys. It really means a lot. And if you're a good guy or gal, join our community. Yeah. It's really fun. And you get to hear dumb shit like this. This is from last week's Patreon episode. It's part one, Brooke and Robin Lopez, obviously. Like, what if there were other Brooks and Robins? Watched everything on Disney Plus, and the first part, 1941 to 1990, aired this week, and here's a little clip.
All right, 1965, that darn cat.
That reminds me of your cat.
Reminds me of your cat!
Your cat is a darn cat!
I hate your darn cat.
All right, that's more business than we normally do. Also, but again, seriously, thank you, Dubberoo. That really warmed my heart.
That was a great, really made me feel good. We gotta do a round ball live in San Diego. I don't have any idea what venue that would be at or anything.
It's kind of
just
room?
For Dubberoo, maybe. Yeah. I don't know that we have other Patreons. I know some people in San Diego.
I'm pretty sure Dunn Nelson's in San Diego, actually. I forget. Yeah. Anyway, we're getting too inside.
That is a little inside baseball.
Inside right? Patreon.
Inside basketball, yeah.
Should we do a reader call?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's take our call.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right. You too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
Hey Joey and Sean, this is Michael Wimmer from Twitter, and I had a question for y'all. I'm a big music fan, and I recently spent some time making a list of my 100 favorite records of the decade. I was curious what you thought may be some various NBA players' favorite records of the 2010s. Are there any secret Sufjan fans in the association? Who liked Good Kid, Mad City more than the Pimp a Butterfly and vice versa? Did Steph Curry like Jesus is King more than any other Kanye project because of its religious themes? Do any NBA players like Carly Rae Jepsen as much as I do? I'd just love to hear your insight on these questions and whatever other considerations they prompt for you too. Thanks a ton.
What do you think some various NBA players' favorite records of the 2010s are? I pulled up You and I Are Not Cool Anymore. We used to be cool.
I don't know when it ended. 2012, maybe?
I pulled up the highest scoring albums of the 2010s on Metacritic. I'm just going to name a few, and then we should decide which player is their favorite. So number one, you know what? Number one is too weird, so we're gonna go up from number one.
Oh, great, great, great.
All right, whose favorite album in the NBA is at number 15 on Metacritic? Good Kid, Mad City by Kendrick Lamar.
You know, I think that's. It's interesting. It almost feels like that might be Kevin Durant's favorite album, only because I think he might like also declare himself the king of New York without actually playing a game there.
See, I think it's got to be an L.A. guy.
Like an L.A. guy.
Yeah, I think it's DeMar DeRozan's favorite album.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Oh, wait, I actually know whose favorite album it is, though.
It's Aaron Aflalo?
Yeah, it's Aaron Aflalo's, because a bonus track on that album is actually about Aaron Aflalo. So that is definitely who it is.
It's Aaron Aflalo. Okay, congratulations. All right. Great, great UCLA Bruin, Aaron Aflalo.
Coming in at number 37. I'm not doing them in order. I'm just picking crazy ones now. Whose favorite album is The Idler Wheel by Fiona Apple?
Oh my God. Who likes The Idler Wheel?
Who likes Fiona Apple is really more the question. You know what
but
I mean?
But like, I'll be honest. I mean, definitely that. I guess Extraordinary Machine did not come out this decade. okay, so who likes Fiona Apple? Who's like emotional? And I'm going to say Amir Johnson. That's my pick.
That's
Amir Johnson. Yeah, I feel like he's very sensitive.
All right. Whose favorite album was A Moon-Shaped Pool by Radiohead?
Oh my God.
Who is an overrated robot?
Well, and like, still holding on to some of the later. I'll ride for a lot of Radiohead albums.
This one is.
I will not ride for A Moon-Shaped Pool. I'm not. Also, I hate that title so much. I hate Hail to the Thief more.
Hail to the Thief is the worst. But A Moon-Shaped Pool is worse.
A Moon-Shaped Pool is
Hail to the Thief.
What does that even fucking mean? Oh, a Moon-Shaped Pool?
You mean
so it's round?
It's a pool?
A round pool? okay.
I'm going to say no one. This is no
this
one's
is no one's favorite album in the NBA.
Well, there aren't very many rock guys in the NBA anymore, just generally.
There's like a possibility that Tyler Zeller likes it.
Maybe,
but that's the only, even that is, or like some Euro we would never expect. Like maybe Aaron Baines really likes it or something.
I feel like Radiohead, you also have to be old to like.
Who's picking up A Moon-Shaped Pool as your first one?
All right. No one in the NBA's favorite album is Divers by Joanna Newsom, correct? We can just knock that one out right away.
I can't even imagine who would. Is there a single Big Four sports athlete who that's their favorite album? Maybe like Sean Doolittle only.
Uh-huh.
And even he, I think, is like a rocker.
Okay, what about, there are two Run the Jewels albums on here. I'm going to go Tyler Hero, right? He's the most Run the Jewels NBA player.
I could see J.J. Redick lying that
he
liked it.
There is a J.J. Redick one on here that is
obvious. Okay.
Golden Hour by Casey Musgraves is very clearly J.J. Redick's favorite album, right?
it's his wife's favorite album, and it grew on him enough that it's his favorite album.
Okay. Let's get to Michael's question, because it's number 18 on Metacritic's list.
Okay.
Does anyone in the NBA like Carrie and Lowell by Sufjan Stevens?
You know, I was trying to think of players who have maybe played in a lot of states.
Mm-hmm.
My only possible guess is Jake Layman. I just don't think there's a lot of, like, indie rock fans among NBA players. I might be wrong about this.
Well, you got to remember, one time we did see Richard Jefferson wearing an Arcade Fire t-shirt in a behind-the-scenes Warriors video.
That's true. That's true.
So that but might he was, be the he, answer.
I bet he was wearing that to try to get Win Butler to get him back into the celebrity all-star game, even though he was an active player, so he could dominate again.
All right, what about Melodrama by Lord? Who's there's definitely Lord fans in the NBA.
Like Kelly Oubre, maybe?
No, Kelly Oubre is I'm gonna say he leans more in the Lil Uzi Vert. kind of, you know what I mean? That that direction.
He just seems very, he seems young and fancy.
Mm-hmm. I just think Lord's a little poppier, but you're like, I like pop, but I'm left of center. You know what I mean?
Like politically, or you're a little bit of a weirdo?
Yeah, you're like a little bit of a weirdo. You know what I mean? You're like, Taylor Swift sucks, I like Lord. You know what I mean? It's like being, it's like preferring Cyndi Lauper to Madonna in the 80s, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right, I can see that. But it's got to be someone pretty young.
Yeah.
Right? Like a young child.
You know what? I bet Trey Young's a Lord man.
I was going to say maybe Evan Fournier.
Yeah, we should have had Katie Heindel on to help us ask this question.
Yeah, this I'm not like, yeah.
She's definitely going to say some things. All right, Channel Orange by Frank Ocean, Sean.
Ooh, okay, so this is someone who likes a little bit of a slow jam, you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
This is James Harden all the way.
I was just thinking that, yeah. too.
All right, You Want It Darker by Leonard Cohen.
Gosh. Zaza Pachulia? Like, I could see him just like, who likes a guy who's singing like this?
Well,
like,
we might be encountering someone else like that on this album.
Oh, weird.
I mean, on this list. All right, Lemonade by Beyonce.
Let's see. So this is going to be somebody who...
This is an older person, I think.
This is an older person. This is also someone, I think, who is faithful. You know what I mean? Like, I could see Nick Young performatively lying that this was his favorite and people being like, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Dwayne Wade. I bet Dwayne Wade loves this album.
Not in the NBA anymore, though.
Oh, he doesn't count. You know, I think Michael Jordan would like this album if he were like 15 years younger. This would be exactly the kind of thing.
This is a little, Lemonade's a little, it's a little saucier than stuff Michael Jordan likes. You know what I mean?
He loves a confident black woman in her mid.
He does. He really does. Ooh. Yeah. Well, not romantically, but.
Well, he also married an older woman. I mean, the first time, but.
Yeah, and he cheated on her 10,000 times until she gave up.
Yeah, that's probably true.
All right. What about one of the saddest musical experiences I've ever experienced? Is anyone in the NBA's favorite album, A Crow Looked at Me by Mount Erie, Sean?
I am not familiar with that. That's a sad. Is it like sad? Were you saying like the music made you sad?
Both.
Or the existence of it?
Oh, no. The music. It is. So Mount Erie, you know who that is, right?
I do know the guy from the microphones. Yeah.
His wife died of cancer, and she was a musician. And it's a it's an album that basically documents his grief from day one to like day 60 that he recorded in the room she died in with all her instruments. And it's like it's extremely it's all diary, basically.
Can I pick Greg Popovich? Or like maybe there's a chance Victor Oladipo?
Yeah, I like Victor, except it's too soulful. I think there's a Victor Oladipo album coming here.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
You know what? Actually, I think Victor Oladipo's favorite album is Lemonade.
Yeah, I can see that. I still kind of think I'm sure he loves Lemonade.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's sad enough for A Crow Looked at Me.
You know who really likes Run the Jewels, though, I bet?
Who?
Malcolm Brogdon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Malcolm Brogdon, I think, is actually most of these albums, even like the rock ones. I could see
he's
Malcolm
like, no,
Brogdon
I listen to like,
yeah, he's one of those guys who says, I'll listen to anything but country, you know what I mean?
And now that he's in Indianapolis, he's like, maybe I'll listen to some country.
Mm-hmm. All right, number six should be number one if we're being honest. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye West, Sean.
Hmm. God, is there any NBA player who maybe sang on All of the Lights?
Are there like 18
vocalists? God, I kind of think it's probably a bunch of people.
I think it's everyone, yeah.
But if I got to pick one person, I'm going to say John Wall. He's like the
he's
right
kind
age
of
for
mirroring
it.
Kanye's career.
That's what I'm saying. Like.
I like it. All right.
But you know the weird thing is he loves Jay-Z's verse on Monster. He's like, he listed almost all of them.
All right, Sean. Whose favorite album is Skeleton Tree by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, which according to Metacritic is the fifth best album of the decade?
There have probably been like more words written about that on like hipster music blogs in proportion to like album sales of like any. Who likes Nick Cave? Kelly Oubre. Not Kelly Oubre, sorry, Kelly Olynyk. I'm sorry, Kelly Olynyk. Jesus.
I'll buy it.
Ray does not like Nick Cave. In the
best. All right. Number four. This is a good one. Black Messiah by D'Angelo, Sean.
Oh, Lou Williams, baby. Lou Williams, all of his favorite albums are D'Angelo albums.
All right. Number three, Damn by Kendrick Lamar.
So that I'm going to pick another LA guy for this.
This one I think is DeMar.
You think this one? Oh, okay.
Because this one's like the fun one that comes after the difficult one.
Yeah, I was gonna say Russ, but Russ actually probably likes stuff that is a little
well,
older.
Here we go. Number two, the difficult one, To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar. Hey, here's a question about Russell Westbrook while we think about this.
Yeah.
Musically. Is there any other person in history who's heard less of the bands than the t-shirts he wears? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I feel like Russ is now so associated with Nipsey that it's hard to pick something else now. Even though I don't necessarily think that's his favorite music.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is Russell Westbrook owns like 5,000 band t-shirts, right?
Yes.
It's always like he's wearing a Boston t-shirt and he's walking in. He's wearing a Foreigner t-shirt. I'm saying in human history, is there anyone who's owned more band t-shirts without having heard the bands of the t-shirts he owns?
No, because no one else is going through t-shirts at the rate of Russell Westbrook, who only wears clothes one single time and gets rid of them. So just because of his t-shirt burn rate, I don't think anyone's ever caught him.
But he's also listened to 5% of those bands. Like,
I don't think
he's never heard Slayer, right?
I mean, I feel like he might have
knowingly heard Slayer.
No, never put on a Slayer album.
Like, but no one, he's never been like, oh, I wonder what this band I'm wearing sounds like.
The only person I can think of who might approach that is that Japanese girl in Mystery Train. Am I getting the Jim Jarmusch title right?
So. Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah. But she wears like 14 t-shirts at once. So,
All right. To Pimp a Butterfly, the jazzy Kendrick album. Who's fake smart? Who's the fakest smart NBA player?
Oh, man.
Because that's who's... this is their favorite album.
Who's the most...
someone trying to show off by how smart they are.
Right. Like this...
like, oh, you're just not listening to it right. That's this kind of album. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's not really Kyrie. Because that's a different thing going on with him.
But it's close.
But yeah, like oh, it's this that
is,
vibe.
No, this is KD. You have that right. This one is KD.
This is KD.
Yeah, this is Kevin Durant. And finally, I cannot believe this is, according to Metacritic, this is the best album of the 2010s.
Uh-huh.
Ghost Teen by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Wait, so Nick Cave came in at 1 and 4?
And 5. Kendrick Lamar came in at 2 and 3. But Nick Cave is in at 1 and 5.
Crazy. I mean, nothing against Nick Cave or anything, but just... I wouldn't have thought his music defined this decade, Joey.
At a certain point, though, you get old and rock critics are going to like your album. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because was Nick Cave that beloved by the critics before?
I don't think so. What, like they love Red Right Hand?
Yeah, I don't.
Actually, let's say that right now. Let's figure that out right now. Which NBA player is the most Red Right Hand? Which, for those of you that don't know, that's a song from Scream. You might know it as the song from Scream.
It is spooky, right? Wouldn't you say it's spooky?
It's Scary Terry, right?
Oh, that is it. Yeah, it's Scary Terry. You're right.
All right, but okay, Ghost Teen by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Ghost Teen.
One word, Ghost Teen.
Ghost Teen.
Like Ghost Teen if it was one word.
Is it supposed to be like a teenage ghost, or is it like really freewheeling, not calling someone back?
I have no idea, dude.
He probably does not know what ghosting is. No. You know who I think is going to consciously listen to all the albums on this list?
Who?
And I don't know if he's gonna like them. I don't know what his taste is, but he'll listen to all of them because they're on this list. Harrison Barnes.
Oh, for sure, dude.
Harrison Barnes sees all the Oscar nominees. Harrison Barnes buys the top 10 books of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm going to say Harrison Barnes just because I think he's the most likely to be exposed to it.
I'm going
to
pull one that I didn't name that is going to be Harrison Barnes' favorite album of the year, though.
Yeah.
It's, of the decade, sorry. It's, I just had it. It's The Arch Android by Janelle Monáe. That is Harrison Barnes' favorite album of the year. I mean, decade.
That feels right. Yeah.
Here, I'll pull one more we didn't do. No Cities to Love by Sleater-Kinney. Whose favorite album is that?
God, it's got to be a Blazers bench player. Mm-hmm. I feel like. But I still don't really think it's something that Myers would listen to.
No, Myers is... No, it's definitely
new metal, I think. Like, doesn't he kind of have a new metal vibe? Or like...
Yeah.
Or like, maybe Christian rap? So who would it be in the decade?
This album came out, No Cities, of course. No Cities to Love came out in 2015. So that's also important to, you know, when they had a drummer.
Right.
You know, before St. Vincent ruined the band.
It's like, well, I guess we're a sketch comedian and a bass player now. Yes, someone stole their drummer and then a drummer stole one of their band members.
Well, they fired Janet Weiss.
Yeah.
You read that story, right? It bums me out.
Weird.
It's a bummer, man.
It seemed messed up.
Yeah, it was terrible. Also, that album sucks. So she was right. I'm going to say the most... I bet Kevin Love loves this album,
That's a great choice. He's from Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
All right. Thank you for the call. Once again, please keep calling, guys. We love calls.
Yeah, it's a good feature.
We did not mean to spend 27 minutes talking about this one call, but we just did. So
there we go. You never know what's going to happen when someone leaves a voicemail.
But yeah, call us on the phone at 323-682-0342. Should we go to the news?
Yeah, let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. The NBA is changing its schedule. Do you want to walk us through what they're doing here?
So, I've read like four summaries of this, and I'm still not really sure what one of these measures is. I'm going to leave that one for last. So, one of the proposals is that they will reseed the playoffs based on record, but only after the second round.
Only it's so just the conference finals, right?
Just the conference finals, yeah. They'll reseed. They want to have a fairly complicated play-in process for the seven through ten seeds.
Right? Yeah.
And then this is still pretty undefined. There's some kind of mid-season tournament.
Uh-huh.
But it's also going to be regular season games.
But also the pool play is included in regular season games?
Yeah, and then there's like extra games, and they're going to cut the schedule down to 78 regular games, but some teams could play as many as 83 games.
Which I do get that. So that's, if you're in the play-in tournament, right, you play more games.
I don't think they even mean the play-in tournament. Those are like playoff games. If you play all the rounds of the in-season tournament, you could get up to 83 games. And it's supposed to be, it's all single elimination, and it's like the NCAA tournament, but some of the single elimination games are also just regular season games.
Well, and you know when it is, right?
They're doing it. They have to finish it before the All-Star break because they can't, because they wanted to do it during the All-Star break. And
well, no, it's like, the idea is it would be happening right now.
Oh, and so they'd like crown an in-season tournament champ in the middle of December.
Yeah, you know, because the basketball's so good in the first month of basketball.
I mean, no one is going to care about this at all.
No. In fact, I'm going to say right off, let's start with the midseason tournament.
Yeah.
And then let's move on. The midseason tournament, people keep trying to do this with the NBA only. I don't know why this is an NBA specific thing.
Yeah, no one's ever like, you know, what if we had like a June baseball tournament?
Yeah.
Between the team. It's like the season's already pretty long.
But you know what Americans really aren't used to? Like, I get that this is like a soccer thing they want to put into basketball.
You know what Americans don't really like, Joey? Soccer. Like, it's growing in popularity, but like, the reason they have those in-season tournaments in soccer is because they've had the FA Cup since, I do not know the accuracy of this, but I think it's been going on for roughly 100 years. And the reason is they didn't really have the league that they did then. NBA's pretty much had the same league structures since like the early 50s and never had an in-season tournament. Like they've been expanding the league. They merged with the ABA, but effectively they've had an 82 game season for a very long time. But yeah, the reason they have other tournaments is that there's also like many, many levels of professional soccer.
Right.
In other
there's
countries.
Only one NBA.
Like if you combine, like you can't have a Champions League in basketball because the NBA is already the Champions League. Like I'm sure, you know, Olympiacos has a nice team. Obviously, we respect all the Turkish powerhouses. I want to make that.
Actually, we fell out of our charitable rankings. We don't have to respect them.
Oh, okay. What a ride. Okay, so yeah, the FA Cup dates back to 1871, Joey. that's why people are still excited about it. And it has the element what make people aren't just into the FA Cup because it's a tournament. It's like a super weird tournament where like a tiny local team that has a 500 seat stadium can theoretically play Manchester United.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too into just soccer either, though, because you know what else people hate? Multiple boxing championships. Why they're like, we like heavyweights, and then heavyweights became shitty and boring, so now they're like, we like whatever Manny Pacquiao is. You know what I mean? There's only ever one popular boxing weight at a time. People just don't want to keep track of, like, multiple trophies and multiple... Like, it's one thing if it's, like... Like, I kind of like those shitty fake baseball trophies, you know? Where it'll be like, the Mets won the series against the Yankees this year, so they get the Apple trophy this year. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. And you don't have to do anything differently. All you did was just add a trophy to something that was happening already.
Right.
Like there's always like just weird. I like a really old trophy for college football. Like, I feel like Minnesota and Michigan play for like the old wooden bucket.
Yeah.
I think that's the prize.
But yeah, all things that are cool. Like,
someone actually needed that for chores when they started the contest. It really the dean couldn't have firewood.
But yeah,
if they don't get the axe.
Hockey,
you know,
had cool trophy names, but Americans couldn't keep up with it, so they're just like, yeah, this is the division trophy now. Instead of like the cool, like, this is the President's Cup or whatever.
We had the Calder Division. We had
like, Americans just don't want to deal with this shit. They want one champion, a season. That's it.
What do you get if you win this tournament? Because it doesn't seem like, I guess maybe they would have extra money.
I mean, I love when like real Galaxy Brain NBA people are like, yeah, and they could play for like the 31st pick in the draft.
Right.
And it's those NBA players are going to love that. They really care about the
adding more competition for their jobs. On a team that, like, didn't, like, 45% of the NBA change teams last summer? Like, oh, they're going to be really excited about that early second-round draft choice, getting some value for the owners. Like when I heard this, I was just like, well, LeBron's not going to play in those games.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, so we're going to get, like, incentive for a late November already meaningless game to be like stuffed with G leaguers and guys on two-way contracts so everyone can rest, and then they get like the Chalupa Cup because you know it's going to have a corporate sponsor.
100%.
So just like, yeah, oh, the Tissot watch trophy. And
but it's just, it'll have a corporate sponsor but also be named after someone, too, so it's going to be extra terrible.
Yeah.
It'll be like the fucking... It'll be like the Taco Bell Wilt Chamberlain Cup.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, I mean, they should just call it the James Harden Trophy for someone who's excellent in the regular season and isn't that great in the regular.
Well, I mean, the funny joke... Look, I'll be pro this if they name it the Charles Barkley Trophy, actually. You know what I mean? Anytime they can go out of the way just to burn Charles Barkley, always funny and good.
Yeah.
If you name, look, NBA, I know you listen. If you name this trophy after Charles Barkley, I will become the biggest midseason tournament defender there is.
Yep. I would also accept the Karl Malone Cup.
I was going to say the same thing.
I mean, I would prefer it if it was, like, literally a mailbox.
Okay, then let's go through this next one.
Okay, so the play-in game...
I kind of like play-in games.
The weird thing, though, is the whole idea is you're supposed to be you're supposed to make the regular season more important.
Mm-hmm.
This is making the regular season less important.
Yeah, I get
it. You have to be in the top 10 now. It's just weird.
Like, I mean, I'm pretty into playing games, man. Look, because
but it should be. Why is it a four team like have 8 and 9 play in a single elimination thing?
Well, because the idea is now you're combating tanking even more by four teams have a shot at playoff money. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess it's just like there's already 16 playoff teams out of 30 teams in the league. But now it's like, well, to 20 teams, 20 of the 30 teams go into the playoffs. Great. Well, that's what the NBA needed. 20 playoff teams, 2/3 of the teams in the league.
What if, okay, here's an idea. What if instead of having a mid-season tournament, you just call the games from February to April the playoffs and everyone gets in?
Everyone gets in. That's great. The thing I'm really not looking forward to is how much ESPN is just going to blindly hump the shit out of this idea.
Mm-hmm. Look, though,
it's like we don't need more fake stories in the NBA.
That Denver, Minnesota,
I mean, we do on our podcast, but the world doesn't.
That Denver Minnesota game was so sick, though. Yeah. More of those.
And, yeah, but it'll now be that game would be meaningless now because they'd actually
just
both
go
be playing different
games
playoffs, a couple days later. They would have been resting everybody for the season finale because that's what it means. It's like, okay, you added play-in games. But now the 3 or 4 games before are not like, because like what happens if you lock up the 7 seed early? Well, you're not even gonna play because you're gonna be resting your guys for the play-in game. It's like all you're doing is moving the goalposts. Like it's the same. Okay, but those are still not as dumb as reseeding at the conference.
Well, that's where we need to get to. Look, it's been a popular idea in the NBA. Again, NBA Galaxy brain circles to just reseed the playoffs entirely, which I like, but I don't like. You know what I mean? I'm kind of torn on it because I do hate the fact that as a fan of the Western Conference, I've been complaining for what feels like 20 years now. It's probably 20 years, right? That there's
that
always
there have been
like
more good teams in the West than
the East. There's always like two below 500 teams in the East that make the playoffs.
Right, and then like the Warriors win 48. I believe there have been two 48 win teams in the West who missed the playoffs in the last 12
years. I think
the Suns
were 49 and didn't get in.
Now they had 48 that draw this year, and the Warriors also won 48 the year after we believe they won.
Yeah.
They improved by 5 games, I think.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. But at least that makes sense to reseed overall by records. I mean, the reason you don't do it though.
But what
is
I was going to say.
Travel.
Travel aside, I also though like teams having to play each other a shit ton of times year after year.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like the Knicks play the Heat like 4 years in a row and they're just sick of each other. I mean, that won't happen anytime soon, but.
But like the Sixers and the Celtics, like you get a grudge and, you know, the Bucks and Celtics have played 2 years in a row in the playoffs. That's great. But, I mean, okay, they wouldn't ever reseed 1-16 because of television and travel, because you just need some of the playoff games to be in Eastern time and Western time because there's a lot of them and they're on television. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to make somebody in the first round fly across the country. Like it's fine for the finals, but until then, like somewhat regionally balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But reseeding after the conference, when there's 4 teams left, let me just show you what that would have meant in the last 6 years. 2014, where we had that classic
Spurs Heat. Yeah.
Yeah. The revenge series. Well, they would have played in the semifinals. There wouldn't be conference finals anymore. And we would have gotten an Oklahoma City Thunder Indiana Pacers series. So instead of yeah, the Spurs and Heat would have had their rematch one round early, and the revenge series between the Thunder and Spurs, the rematch of 2012, would not have happened because we would have seen Paul George battling Kevin Durant. Okay, 2015. Okay.
I bet it's better in 2015, right?
Well, we would have had the Warriors and Cavs meeting in the semifinals.
Okay.
While the Atlanta Hawks played the Houston Rockets. Would that have been better, Joey? What, watching a Cavs-Hawks final, potentially? So Warriors-Rockets in the finals?
So, wait, that's not even like the Chris Paul Rockets either, right?
That's the James Harden, Josh Smith, Corey Brewer Rockets. Yeah, that's the team.
Now, to be fair, we would have gotten the real NBA Finals that year because Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love would not be hurt yet.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah. So it would have been Cavs Hawks in the finals. Is that what we would have had? I mean, I guess Kevin Love still would have been hurt. He got hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't Kelly Olynyk rip his arm off?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, my bad. But Kyrie would be healthy.
All
right, what about 2016? What do we get?
2016, we would have had the Warriors and the Raptors in the semifinals and Cavs Thunder in the other series. So we would have missed the Warriors Thunder classic series. And then the Warriors, I mean,
as a Warriors fan, I am.
Yeah, that
I kind of wish
better.
That happened. Yeah.
That would have been great. The Warriors just cruising to a sweep that year, and then Steph Curry could have gone to Germany and gotten like a new knee. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what would happen.
Oh, and in case you're wondering.
And you know what else doesn't happen then? Kevin Durant does not go to the Golden State Warriors, probably.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Because they just get beaten by the Cavs, right?
Yeah, so I guess they might have beaten the Cavs. I don't know. That was a very good Thunder.
But think about how LeBron played in those three games, Sean.
No, I mean, I understand. I'm just saying, when the Thunder were up 3-1, people were just like, oh, they're going to beat the Cavs. This team is unbeatable. But yeah, you're probably right about that. We would have had, by the way, the year before, we would have had, hold on just a second. Sorry. Oh, it would have been a classic. No, it would have been exactly the same conference finals in 2013 if it was reseeded. Okay. 2017, we would have again had, the Warriors and Cavs, renewing their semifinal rivalry. And we would have had a dramatic Spurs-Celtics series with...
You know who I bet wishes that happened?
Bill Simmons?
No, Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
Because Kawhi doesn't hurt his ankle until the finals then, you know what I mean?
That's true. He would have been completely fine despite missing game 6 of the second round series. It was only Zaza Pachulia that hurt the remarkably
durable
Kawhi Leonard. 2018, we would have had another Warriors-Raptors series in the semifinals and a dramatic Rockets-Cavs series.
The Rockets would have destroyed that Cavs team so bad.
So I guess
that's
the
why they're doing it.
That,
right?
That's the one.
That's
year.
The year.
But except like it's the implication is that the NBA Finals have been bad, whereas 5 of the last 7 years they've been good. So last year it would have been Warriors-Raptors, but in the semifinals, and then we would have had a Bucks-Blazers series.
Well, let's be honest about what would have happened if it was in the second round last year of Warriors-Raptors, Sean.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess some of those guys would be healthy. for that series.
I do think Klay Thompson probably plays a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. I would guess that too. Yeah.
I mean, there's no Kevin Durant. Maybe still has his Achilles tendon though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really just depends on when Fred VanVleet's wife gives birth, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
And the Blazers definitely beat the Bucks.
Yeah, in five. Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
And we get a Blazers-Raptors finals. But we would have missed that Bucks-Raptors series. And honestly, even though the Warriors swept, that was a pretty exciting series.
Yeah, it was really exciting.
I mean, the Warriors were down 15 points in
every
single game.
Yeah, yeah. It was every game.
this idea really sucks, and I don't the upside of this. I'm gonna say doesn't even exist at all.
No,
but to the extent it does, it is so not worth throwing out the system they've had forever.
Look, we've said before how we hate people saying this, but this is the most neo-lib shit ever.
Right.
Because, like, they're looking at problems, they're like, okay, three teams that are under 500 make the playoffs every year, we need to fix that. The Rockets and the Warriors were the NBA finalists. Everyone knew they were the two best teams, so we need to fix that. Teams are resting players, so we need to fix that. And the ratings are down, so we need to fix that. Just, like, very simple things that if you really thought, like, there are easy ways to fix that, actually. Instead, you make it more complicated and worse. By compromising. So instead of just being like, sorry, East Coast owners, you don't get your free playoff money every year. We're going to seed it 1-16.
Right.
They're like, okay, we're going to reseed. And you know what will be extra confusing? Again, because, look, American sports viewers like this shit simple. They don't want to think about what team is playing who next.
Right. You have a bracket I know they do this in hockey now, but reseeding in the middle of the bracket is really stupid and asinine.
I mean, I still think the midseason tournament is the stupidest of all of these ideas.
I just don't even get this one though.
Yeah.
Especially because it's almost like the NBA was just like, oh, what if we had a Clippers-Lakers finals?
That's exactly what this
That's
is.
Like yeah. The entire incentive.
Yeah.
But
you know how you fix TV ratings? Fucking just play games earlier, dude. Sorry, the Lakers play at 3 o'clock today or 4 o'clock today.
Well, how about this? You couldn't start the game at 6 o'clock in Los Angeles
because everyone look. They write this every year now, where it's like, "Whoa, ratings are down," and you know what it coincides with? Every one of the NBA's marquee players moving to the Pacific time zone.
Right.
Why the ratings are down.
Yeah, it's like, well, who's there? Well, Kawhi
Leonard, LeBron James, Steph Curry.
Anthony Davis, Draymond Green, Dame Lillard. Where was Kawhi before? The Eastern time zone. Oh.
Yeah.
Where was Paul George? Well, he was in, like, the Central time zone before that.
But LeBron is – it's LeBron.
LeBron is
it's
the most LeBron. Popular player.
Yeah.
And now – okay, here's another thing they could do. Look, the NBA, to their credit – moved a lot more games to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. instead of 7:30. But here's what I'm going to say. That doesn't matter when you have 8 5-minute replay reviews mm-hmm. at the end of the game. Did you watch that Rockets-Clippers game that went OT? Overtime lasted like 28 minutes. That game was over at 1 o'clock on the East Coast.
Here's the other thing you could do. The NBA give NBA TV to people who have league pass.
Yes.
They paid you $500. Don't black out those games claiming they're national TV games because they're not. There's no way to watch them. There's no way to watch an NBA TV game that isn't stealing.
Hey, Joey, you remember that amazing Spurs-Thunder series in 2012?
Uh-huh.
That would not have happened.
Oh, who would it have?
The Spurs would have played the Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett Celtics. So that great series between the Heat and Celtics and that great series between the Spurs and Thunder. No, it would have been Heat Thunder in the semifinals. And Boston getting swept by that San Antonio Spurs team.
I mean, honestly, I would be more okay if they just were like, okay, here's what's going to happen. We have a man. It's Zach Lowe. Let's just say it's Zach Lowe. We've decided Zach Lowe gets to seed the playoffs every round based on how interesting the series would be.
Yeah.
That is better than this.
At least it's someone making a decision, because now they're like, well, we had this automatic system that didn't work out the way we wanted, so we're going to get a dumber automatic system. No one's going to think about anything. Just imagine, Joey, imagine Daryl Morey's whining about the results of a midseason tournament that ends on December 10th.
Demanding audits for games that it's still unclear if they're part of the season or not.
Yeah. Well, what would be great is if the trophy, like the prize, was like an extra mini mid-level exception that Tillman still didn't want to use.
You know what the prize should actually be? You don't have to pay the luxury tax next year.
Yeah. See? I still don't see how that makes the players care, but...
Because they won't get cut or traded because of their contract. They get,
yeah, like Ryan
it's a
Anderson,
year of job security.
Ryan Anderson would have been like the MVP of that tournament a year ago.
He would have been this year. He got cut already. He got cut again by the Rockets 2 days ago.
Man. They did him wrong, Joey. I'm not afraid to say that.
All right. There's one last news story we have to get to. We have so much to do still. So I'm going to pick one story. Here's what it is. Okay. Sean, please talk about Dominique Wilkins being Yang Gang.
Yeah. So I was very surprised when I saw a tweet from Dominique Wilkins. Yeah, it said, we want more of the amazing Andrew Yang after his hashtag debate performance last night when he got
his great debate hashtag debate performance.
Oh, sorry. His great hashtag debate performance last night when he got to talk. Check out my one-on-one game and interview. Many exclamation points. Hashtag Yang Gang. Hashtag Yang Media Blackout. Hashtag Yang. Hashtag Yang 2020. Mm-hmm. I thought this kind of came out of nowhere. Then I looked back. 3 days earlier, he had tweeted, why I love Andrew Yang. Because of the core of his being, he is a father and a husband first. Even when running for the office of president, he always takes time. Hashtag Yang Gang. Hashtag Yang Gang 2020. Hashtag Evelyn. Hashtag Yang Gang ATL. So he was doing an Atlanta event with Andrew Yang. In the comments of one of those tweets, someone called Andrew Yang the humanity highlight film, Joey. I didn't love that.
So I'm going to say right off the bat that Dominique Wilkins now joins Weezer as being people I loved when I was a child that have disappointed me.
Yeah. Now, I tried to get to the bottom of this, and...
Let's be honest. Dominique Wilkins wants $1,000 a month.
He wants $1,000 a month. He needs it. He needs
doesn't
it.
Need it. He wants it, though.
He just wants it. There's a video where he's, like, kind of shooting hoops with Yang, but really, Yang's wearing a math t-shirt that says Yang on the
it
back.
It just says math.
And it says Yang on the back.
Well,
but yeah,
no, but... When you say a math t-shirt, I don't know what that means.
It just says
math
on
the front.
In capital letters, yeah. There is a moment when Dominique holds up hashtag Yang Sun for a dunk. And he also then gives Andrew Yang a hug and like lifts him off the ground. And at first Andrew Yang is laughing. And then I think he realizes that it's not great that like a man is holding him up like a child. Mm-hmm. And then Dominique talks about how we need to help people do mental health stuff with people with disabilities. It does seem like he maybe just met him when he was doing like an autism charity. It looks like that's what Dominique's cause is. Other things that he tweeted about was getting Carnival Cruise Lines to make sensory inclusions, which seems like, as far as I can tell, they put some headphones and fidget spinners on their cruise lines. He tweets about this thing called Mission Winnow, which is just one of those like vague people talking about leadership things where they just say leadership a lot. He tweeted an interview with Simu Liu. He tweeted about TEDx talks on Bitcoin billionaires. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for his charity, he hyped a lunch they were auctioning with, quote, the great Jake Tapper and Ben Mezrich, the guy who wrote the book that inspired The Social Network. And I guess he writes on Billions. He may have co-created Billions. I didn't look it up. I just looked at Dominique's Twitter. And he also asked Puma to make him a human highlight shoe.
All right, Sean, there's one thing I want to ask you. Has Dominique Wilkins ever tweeted about Szechuan sauce?
No, I don't think he's a Rick and Morty guy.
Okay, does he tweet at Elon Musk?
I bet he has. I didn't look back far enough. But
what about Neil deGrasse Tyson?
I don't think he's into Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's into like...
To me, these are all the same person. You know what I mean? It's the same... Yeah.
No, he...
Reddits do you think Dominique frequents?
He stays away from the Donald, but I think there's maybe like a dank, like Yang dank memes. I bet he likes dank memes about certain things. I think he's just like a guy who likes people who talk about leadership.
Business,
so I bet he
leadership. Yeah.
Yeah. So I bet I wouldn't be surprised if he like follows even like a Martha Stewart type, but it's all going to be like he follows all of the Shark Tankers. Tony Robbins.
Gotcha. I wonder if he's discovered Marie Kondo yet.
Oh my god. He's
him
probably
throwing out dunk contest trophies.
Yeah. I don't need this. This jacket Larry Bird signed. This doesn't give me any joy. This makes me think about losing to Larry Bird.
Alright, Sean, it's time for a Thanksgiving tradition.
That's true.
Every year I don't think there's a drop for this, and I don't feel like making one.
No.
I'm thankful for taking a day off from making drops for this. Maybe next year. but we go through each and every NBA team, and we decide what they're thankful for on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So let's go through them alphabetically, shall we?
Yeah, let's just go alphabetically.
All right. Sean, what are the Atlanta Hawks thankful for this year?
I think they're thankful that they have a barbershop in their arena and that might make Trae Young do something about his hair.
I mean, his hair does look better this year, admittedly.
Yeah, a little bit, but...
It looks less like he stuck his head in a cotton candy machine.
He still just seems like there are patches where there might not be any hair at all. And, like, I still just don't really understand what's happening.
But don't you think if he shaves his head, he's going to look like that Star Trek baby?
Like Baby Yoda?
No, Star Trek. The baby Star Trek that was God that one time on the original Star Trek.
I don't know that God baby.
Well, doesn't matter.
Sorry,
he will.
You could do that on Take It or Break It, and he'd probably like it. Yeah.
I think they're always thankful for Sir Foster's beautiful organ playing.
Yeah, he's great. It's a treasure.
All right, Sean, the Boston Celtics. What are they thankful for this year?
I think they're thankful that Gordon Hayward's back playing video games because they were worried when he had that broken hand, but He's back to doing what he loves, his favorite thing.
You saw that quote, right?
That was insane.
We should mention
what
that.
What is he doing?
Gordon Hayward said this week that playing video games helps him rehab his broken hand.
His hand is broken. There is no way a doctor's like, oh yeah, play 4 hours of League of Legends today. That's good for your hand. Also, he's going to break it when his wife slaps his controller out of his hand.
I think they are, of course, thankful for the group of shills that are their media. We'll just write anything about, like, just constantly write about how, and by the way, I'm not talking about our friend Jared Weiss. I want to make that very clear.
No. There's plenty of other people.
Yeah. who will just go out of their way to write anything Kyrie Irving did as, like, the reason they're good this year.
Any player that leaves town in any sport at any time for any reason.
Yeah. They just want to write mean things about athletes. So you just know, give them a reason. Just give them any reason. You saw the Kyrie one today, right?
He doesn't like to talk to people in elevators.
Coach complained that he was a bad guy because he was in an elevator with him once and didn't say anything. One time.
It's just crazy.
And look.
Look, if he had talked, it would have been like, yeah, Kyrie Irving wouldn't shut up in the elevator. Don't talk to anyone in the elevator. You don't have to. No one. You don't have to talk to your wife in an elevator. Like, an elevator trip just doesn't last that long. It's fine. It's not rude.
Well, they said this was 40 or 50 stories.
Still! What are you talking about? Nothing's happening. It's not a ride.
All right, Sean, the Brooklyn Nets, what are they thankful for this year?
I think the Brooklyn Nets are happy that Josiah is making a killing in Alibaba. And yeah, they're not going to have to be sent back to China to make iPhones. Which is what happened to Wilson Chandler. That's what he's doing during his suspension.
Mm-hmm. I think they're thankful for the fact that Kyrie Irving hasn't discovered that site on the internet yet that proves that the Beatles don't exist.
Oh. he's gonna go to Citi Field because he's like, yeah, this is where the fake final concert was. Oh no, their final concert was at Candlestick. Never mind.
But yeah, the Beatles never existed.com. They're just glad they're excited he hasn't found that yet.
He'll never be able to give up on like fake Paul.
And don't even get him started on that Andrew WK.
Oh my God. Yes.
He is in Brooklyn now.
He's in Brooklyn. He'll run into him. Look, they both really believe in positivity.
All right, Sean, the Charlotte Hornets, what are they thankful for this year?
I'm going to say that not maybe the whole team, but specifically Terry Rozier is thankful that he's not going to get sued by the guys who own the trademark to the Scream guy because he's now completely fallen out of public awareness. Mm-hmm. Everyone has completely forgotten him now that he's signed with the Charlotte Hornets.
They're thankful for tequila, baby. Always. Oh. all right, Sean, the Chicago Bulls, what are they thankful for this year?
I think they're just thankful that they get a day off of wind sprints.
I was going to say the same thing. They don't have to see fucking Jim Boylan for one day. That's what they're thankful for.
He's going to make them clock in at their dinners, though. Also, he'll be like sleepier on Friday because he doesn't have a turkey. He just eats 23 pounds of breakfast cereal.
No, he eats frozen pot pies on Thanksgiving, dude. That's what Jim Boylan eats on Thanksgiving. All right, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Sean. What are the Cleveland Cavaliers thankful for?
I just think they're thankful for the leadership of Kevin Love.
I think they're thankful. It looks like they're finally going to get to get rid of Tristan Thompson.
Oh my god, that cannot have been fun for the last year and a half. I mean, I'm sure it was not fun the year before that either. But like, God, when you're in a terrible team that also has Tristan Thompson showing off that handle.
All right, the Dallas Mavericks, Sean. What are the Dallas Mavericks thankful for?
I think that they're just going to be really thankful for all of the delicious Slovenian treats that Luka's mom is bringing to the locker room this week.
That's pretty good. I think they're thankful that they finally thought to hire a woman to shield them from all their sexual misdeeds.
I bet she's really happy.
All right, the Denver Nuggets, Sean, what are they thankful for?
I think they're thankful that for at least one day a year, no one cares what Nikola Jokic is eating.
I bet he's a guy who doesn't like turkey.
No way he likes American Thanksgiving food. He's probably just like, what are you doing?
He's We're like, going there's to no Chinese fat on re- this bird.
Yeah. Why so many potatoes?
he likes the potatoes, let's be honest. It's the warm bread salad that he doesn't like.
He's like, why are there so many green beans? He's just like, he's just going to convince Wancho to go to like a Chinese restaurant instead.
All right, Sean. The Detroit Pistons, what are they thankful for?
I think
this
they're
is a rough one.
I mean, there's like... I think they're just, like, you know how in Major League they have that incentive that when you like, win a game, you rip a piece off the sexy owner? Mm-hmm. I think that they're doing that, but just every game that passes, they put a sticker on a cardboard cutout of Reggie Jackson. Until they can, like, cover him up completely when his contract finally expires.
I think this year they're thankful that Tom Gores is not going to drunk dial them tonight.
Yeah. I can see Tom Gores, like, spending Thanksgiving Eve, like, tracking down his old high school bar.
Oh, 100%.
What's up, dude? You guys want to do shots? And they're like, we
are
50 years old.
They're way older. Tom Gores is old, man. all right, the Golden State Warriors, Sean.
What are the Golden State Warriors thankful? Oh, that they each can spend Thanksgiving with all their favorite family of butlers, blood boys, stockbrokers. And, personal masseuses.
I think they're thankful for the fact that the fiscal year hasn't ended for this quarter yet. So the tickets are still being bought at Chase Center.
Yeah, all these people are like just trying to scam. We need more paper losses.
All right, the Houston Rockets, Sean.
I think they're thankful that Chris Paul's not going to yell at them during the Thanksgiving blessing.
I mean, they're thankful for the amazing spread Tillman Fertitta provides, right? From each of his terrible restaurants.
One appetizer from each restaurant. Yeah, like muffins from the Rainforest Cafe. What do you think he brings from the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company?
Oh, probably
Boat Trash?
No, the Peel and Eat Shrimp, dude. The Shrimper's Net Cash. Oh,
Yeah, yeah, okay. Shrimpers and catch.
It's either 3/4 of a pound of peel and eat shrimp or 1.5 pounds of peel and eat shrimp, steamed in beer, and then tossed in your choice of either Cajun spices or garlic butter. Or, if you're feeling really wild, you can have them tossed in both. That's what I like. Isn't that weird how automatic I can still pull that out of my brain? I haven't worked there in 10 years.
Yeah, like when was the last time you even thought about that particular menu item?
Long time. 10 years, probably. All right. The Indiana Pacers, Sean, what are they thankful for?
They're thankful for all the TJs. They're actually, it's actually written as to Jank's giving.
I think they're thankful that they get a night off where they can watch their favorite mass singer Thingamajig sing for no reason at all. They just like them a lot, like him a lot.
Yeah, they're voting for him a lot.
The LA Clippers, Sean, what are they thankful for?
I think they're thankful that they have such a fun guy to celebrate with. No, that's not what they're thankful for.
Did you see what Lou Williams did the other night, by the way? It was so funny. They made him talk to the crowd the other night, and when he grabbed the microphone, he went, "Hey, hey, hey."
Can we talk about the exchange between Nick Young and Lou Williams tonight?
I don't want to, but yeah, go ahead. No. Yes, go ahead.
So Nick Young, still a free agent.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
Yeah. Tweeted, which one is worse, me asking my woman for a blow-up doll or her asking me for dildo, pause, not your regular size one, emojis. This all started because I asked her to get me a blow-up for Christmas, lol. It's weird. It's also really confusingly written.
Why does Nick Young want a blow-up doll?
But
like,
also,
those aren't
I don't...
joke things. People don't use those.
No. No, they're like for bachelor parties. It's not like
anyway.
Look, like any male sex toy is just troubling. And yeah. look, I'm not trying to kink shame anyone, but just publicly talking about like anyway. Anyway, Lou Williams eventually responded, "Get your joint molded and give it to her. What I'm doing for mine on Xmas, lol."
Uh-huh.
Well, Lou Williams definitely won that exchange, Joey. I mean, being direct about his sexual wants.
Sure. But also, I think it's a trouble. I think that that mentality is a little troubling, personally. You know
getting
what I mean?
His joint molded?
Just where it's like, oh, yeah, if you're going to use a sex toy, it's going to be mine, too. You know what I mean? It's like the only thing allowed in my pussy is in your pussy is my is me. You know what I mean? I just worry that that's where it's coming from. You know what I'm saying?
I think I hear what you're saying, but I think that I believe Lou Williams is an ethical slut.
Okay,
and it's
just
more of a
sure.
Like, yeah. I don't think he's super possessive.
Just making sure. I mean, he did have two girlfriends. He is poly, or was, not anymore.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, I don't know what the rules are with his other girlfriends, but. Oh yeah, okay. So this is what they're really thankful for, that Steve Ballmer is going to roast an actual condor for the team meal.
I think they're happy they get to see Austin. You know what I mean? Yeah. Austin comes home for a day.
Do you think he does? Does Doc?
No.
I think once he tried to get Doc that technical, he was uninvited again. He's going to the. He's having a Curry family Thanksgiving.
All right. What are the LA Lakers thankful for?
I think they're just thankful that they decided not to tell Dwight Howard where the meal was being held.
I think LeBron James is thankful that he's copywriting Turkey Day.
Yeah, and Turkey Thursday.
No, Turkey Day. You
just
know.
Turkey Day.
Yeah, just Turkey Day. He's copywriting it. He invented it. No one's ever used that before. And he's going to make a lot of money off of it on podcasts and television shows.
Right.
T-shirts, Instagrams. It's going to be great.
He's such an innovator, Joey.
All right, what are the Memphis Grizzlies thankful for, Sean?
You know, I think they're just thankful for all the time they've spent with Andre Iguodala so far this year. Seems like a good guy. Going on group dates with Klay Thompson like he's on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm.
I think they're thankful that they're going to take a day that morning and they're all going to go see the Peabody Ducks at the Peabody in Memphis.
Oh, that's nice.
You know what I mean? I think Ja and Triple J and Brandon, they're really going to love seeing those Ducks parade around. You know what I mean?
I think Brandon Clark is going to especially like it.
Memphis rules, by the way. We should talk about them someday when we talk about real basketball. Those three guys are awesome, dude.
John Morant is like truly incredible to watch. And he was really fun in college, but it was very hard to tell, I think. Because he was in the Ohio Valley Conference and everything. But.
All right. The Miami Heat, Sean, what are they thankful for?
They're thankful that because it's Thanksgiving, they only have to show up to work out at 4 a.m. Get to sleep in.
They do have to golf at 7 a.m. still, though.
Yeah, right. And they also have to enjoy a turkey and then immediately spit the unswallowed bite into a bucket.
I think they're thankful that they don't have to watch Tyler Hero do the Dougie for one day. That's probably the wrong dance, but you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. Right.
The Milwaukee Bucks, Sean, what are they thankful for?
I think they're thankful that they've gone undefeated without Chris Middleton, and he's going to get off his fucking high horse now. I don't know why I'm saying that about Chris Middleton, but
I think they're feud. I think they're thankful that Giannis gets to try corn pudding for the first time this year. Oh,
that's going to be really nice. Do you think he's ever had a chocolate pie?
Probably, right? He's definitely eaten all those fair foods, you know what I mean?
Right. Is there like, do you think he's had a sweet potato pie?
Yeah, I bet.
I bet he's had a lot of pies.
Yeah. All right, the Minnesota Timberwolves, Sean, what are they thankful for this year?
I think they're thankful for the annual team Halloween costume. Their annual Turkey Day costume pageant. And, would have been better if I'd said it right the first time. But they're all going to dress up as pilgrims and turkeys and floats from the Macy's Parade.
That's pretty good. I think they're thankful that their owner is going to make them sit down and look him in the eye and tell them what they're thankful for.
And then he's going to give them 22 million turkeys.
Yeah. All right, the New Orleans Pelicans, Sean, what are they thankful for?
You know, I think they're thankful for J.J. Redick's signature mac and cheese.
You think he makes mac and cheese, J.J. Redick?
Well, he makes mac and cheese for one family. He makes a green bean casserole for another family. And then another family, it's a lemon meringue pie. It's like a sitcom. He's just rushing around from things. Oh, great Thanksgiving. I'll say what I'm thankful for. I just got to go get some more ice.
I think they're thankful for Alvin Gentry because he definitely gets wasted on Thanksgiving.
Oh, hell yeah. Super fun. Oh, and the other thing that's great is that they're thankful that Jahlil Okafor's a vegan, so they don't have to invite him.
All right, John, the New York Knicks, what are they thankful for?
Oh, my God, what are they thankful for? I think that Alonzo Trier and Kevin Knox and Dotson are all very thankful that for one day a year, someone will actually feed them. Because it's not going to be RJ Barrett or
Elfrid Payton.
I mean, I think for the 67th year in a row, they're thankful for the Blues. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That's the only thing you're allowed to be thankful for in New York is the Blues.
Yeah, if you say anything else, you're out.
All right, the Oklahoma City Thunder, Sean, what are they thankful for?
Let's see.
I can take this one first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think they're thankful that they don't have to set up a red carpet this year to enter Thanksgiving dinner.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I think they're thankful that Andre Robertson's only about 2 months away from being completely healthy again.
All right, the Orlando Magic, Sean, what are they thankful for?
I think they're thankful that Steve Clifford has forbidden Jonathan Isaac to give the Thanksgiving blessing.
I think they're also thankful for Evan Fournier's hair plugs.
Yeah, good for him, man. He's going to fit in with the population of Orlando so much better now.
All right, the Philadelphia 76ers, Sean, what are they thankful for?
I think they're thankful that Joel Embiid went scoreless for a game, and that means he will not be talking shit on social media for at least
12 hours.
Yeah, yeah. I think he might be silent until December 1st. Mm. I think he might. That's unrealistic. December 20th. Thanksgiving night, he'll be tweeting again.
I think they're thankful that they have yet to almost kill Matisse Thybul.
Oh, that's so, right. All right, good job, guys.
The Phoenix Suns, Sean, what are they thankful for?
They're thankful, just like everybody in the NBA should be, for Ricky Rubio.
Mm-hmm.
It's also who I'm thankful for.
Yeah. The Portland Trailblazers. Who is Terry thankful for, Sean?
Yeah, who's Terry thankful for?
Who's CJ thankful for?
He's thankful for CJ. He's thankful for Dame. He's thankful for Kent. Thankful for Scal. Definitely thankful for Anthony. Thankful for Penny.
Mm-hmm. Thankful for Carmelo.
They're definitely thankful for Carmelo.
Get well
thankful
soon,
for
Zach.
Rodney. Yeah. Thankful for Yusuf. I also think that they're thankful for Tusk. They don't eat there.
They're thankful. Let's be honest. They're thankful for big corbs, having big corbs in their lives.
Hmm? Just right across the border, sending his love across the state line.
Just riding a bus with his heart full of love.
How many do you think? Okay, which Blazer is most likely to subscribe to Corbin Smith's great dog photo heavy subscription newsletter?
Oh, it's 100% Nurk.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah,
they got a bond.
Yeah. All right, the Sacramento Kings, Sean.
I think they're thankful that basically they have immunity to commit a fair amount of crimes and still be completely safe, because apparently that's the standard for people who work for the Sacramento Kings, whether you're, say, an executive who embezzled $13 million or just a head coach who was recently hired. The bar for criminal behavior is very high in Sacramento.
I think they're thankful Harrison Barnes is going to play his saxophone before dinner this year.
Yeah, he's going to tell them about the true meaning of Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah. All right,
the Linus of the NBA, Harrison Barnes.
The San Antonio Spurs, Sean, what are they thankful for? This is a rough one.
Yeah.
It's been a rough year for San Antonio.
I think they're thankful that DeMar DeRozan is not going to receive that rumored contract extension. I think we're pretty clear on that. He's not really trying on defense, Joey.
Mm-hmm. I think they're thankful that the president's finally going to get impeached.
That's what's been distracting Popovich. He's not even, he's watching all the hearings.
Yeah, he's just watching hearings all day instead of game
film. Even during practice, he's like, timeout, timeout. What is it, coach? And he's like, well.
Did you see what Adam Schitt just said?
It's just sad. That opening statement.
All right. The Toronto
Raptors. We met Giuliani 20 times.
The Toronto Raptors, Sean, what are they thankful for? I mean, come on. They're thankful for just a regular day off because their Thanksgiving was like a month ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They get to do whatever they want. They're eating poutine, baby. Go to that nude beach. It's probably very cold in Toronto right now.
Smoked meat.
Whose house do you think they'd be most likely to go to?
Serge's.
Oh, right, of course. Also, Serge probably has a big house and lives completely by himself, except with, like, friends slash employees.
Yeah. The Utah Jazz, Sean. What are they thankful for?
I think they're...
Cocaine, man. You saw Quinn Snyder put on lip balm, right?
Oh, my God. Jesus. Yeah, that he's not shared...
He's just cocaine now. He's not even human.
No, he's like literally. He's gonna dissolve. Like if they lose in the playoffs, the front office is just gonna start stuffing him into a toilet like it's the end of Goodfellas.
Look, people all often compare him to Christian Bale in American Psycho. But no, he's Jordan Belfort, man.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He's straight up Wolf of Wall Street. Like, this is, we are at, like, if lewds still existed, he would be on them.
he's like Sean Penn and Hurley Burley.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, the real vibe of, like, real desperate. I think that might be why the team is always, like, so anxious about awards and recognitions and stuff. It's
they
just, like, they're always so keyed up.
Slow, too.
Yeah. Well, also, I think they've so far bringing in an identical Joe Jingles.
Yeah.
Is
troubling.
It's just minimized Jingles.
Yeah, Boyan's been great, though. Boyan's he's been fucking ruled.
No, the Jazz have, like, 2.5 good offensive players. Like, I know Rudy Gobert is a very efficient offensive player. But
oh, he's getting less dunks this year, though, Sean.
Uh-oh. He's the record is vulnerable. I was looking at the team, and it's like, it is Mitchell and Bogdanovich just carrying the offense, and literally no one else is good. So.
But this always happens. They always start off slow on offense, and then it'll be like, in December, they'll go like 15-2 or something, and it's like, wait, what? The Jazz are here. You know what I
mean?
Like,
Mitchell's going to end up being most improved player, I think, because like no other team's going to lobby that hard.
I mean, no, there's Luka's going to get most improved player though.
You think so? He was like, it seems like he was like too good last year.
But the leap from like where he was last year to like historical MVP.
I think you usually don't win in your second year. That's all.
I mean, it used to be you do win it your second year. I guess they don't do that as much anymore.
I mean, it's like the sweet spot is like, I think someone did the average of the last 20 years and it's like 3.8. Mm-hmm. So that's why people were like, Brandon Ingram, baby.
Oh, that actually is probably who's going to win it, though.
I mean, if he keeps scoring 27 points a game, he might win it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, and finally...
He's actually more improved than, you know.
And finally, the toughest one, Sean.
Uh-huh.
Possibly in the entire league. What are the Washington Wizards thankful for?
I think they're thankful for buckets, baby. They got the second best offense in the league. They got Isaiah Thomas, unstoppable Davis Bertans.
Well, no, you know who's truly unstoppable right now? Mo Wagner is putting up like historic numbers.
No, Mo Wagner and Davis Bertans are like shooting
Mo Wagner,
lights out.
Mo Wagner, I think, is shooting 70% on the year.
Yeah, it's crazy. He doesn't have it, but like Bertans is playing a lot of minutes too. It's all like, I mean, not that the Lakers have any regrets or anything, but mm-hmm. yeah. Mo Wagner is shooting 63%. His effective field goal percentage is 71%. Shooting 48% from three.
On three a game, too. It's not like he's not taking them.
Yeah, he's definitely. I mean, he's averaging 12 points a game in 19 minutes. Like, that Summer League fight woke him up.
I'm happy for Mo Wagner.
Yeah, me too.
Good job. I am not happy for Davis Bertans, though, because there's no reason he should be on the Wizards.
Yeah, that's the unfair part. It's like, you look at the Spurs, even, and you're just like, man, it's too bad they don't have another small forward who can give us some three-point production, but, you know, so it is. And then it's like, well, yeah, would they have had any use at all? I don't need to belittle, just keep driving this home, but he's 27. He's finally old enough for Pop to trust him.
Well, that wasn't it. They just thought they were getting Marcus Morris instead, and then he screwed them for no reason.
Yeah. For no reason. To go to the Knicks.
All right. That's our show. Actually, we should explain what we're thankful for. Sean, what are you thankful for?
I am thankful for all our listeners. I'm thankful for you, Joey. I'm thankful for my wonderful family. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for the endless source of amusement that is Tillman Fertitta. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful especially for my secret basketball group chat buddies.
Mm-hmm.
I could name them, but I kind of want it to be a secret, you know?
Yeah. I'm...
You know who you are, guys.
I'm thankful for the fact that people want to listen to us talk about things we'd be talking about anyway. It really blows my mind, like, every day that people really love something that I get to make. So,
yeah.
That's what I'm thankful for. And I'm also thankful for this.
Hey, 1 second here. Come on, people. You fans are the greatest fans in the world. As everybody said that. Show a little bit of class. This is a man that I've spent some time talking to. He is going to change this franchise. This is crazy. Seriously. Come on.
All right, Sean. What would you like to plug?
I want to plug my New Year's Eve shows at Cobb's Comedy Club, December 29th, 30th, and then two shows on New Year's Eve. And if you're in the Bay, I'm doing just small comedy shows besides that for like the last 2 weeks of December. So
great.
Yeah.
As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. We're on November 23rd. I try to keep my Twitter feed light and funny, but I'm going through a really rough time lately. You guys have no idea. Thank God for at POG Muniz. Our love is the only thing keeping me from completely losing my mind. So get better, Frankie. And I'm glad you found love.
I really am. I'm happy for him, too.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did. This is... excitingly enough, I'm sort of surprised it took this long. It's their first Billy Joel song.
That can't be possible.
I'm pretty sure it is.
You
though.
Never wrote a Piano Man?
No, I haven't. That's the one I would have done, I think, too. This is also, like, I guess it's a Billy Joel classic, but like not one of the most common. Anyway, it's called Carmelo Anthony's song, parentheses, Fallin' Out.
Great. Well, that's maybe playing under us right now. If not, I'll be start playing in a couple of seconds. Trust the process. And shut it down. Let's all go home for the holidays. Like that movie. Holly Hunter.
Carmelo Anthony worked for the James Dolan Knicks, saving his money for strippers. His mama said, Melo, all those Rockets are dicks. She said, Sonny, go sign with the Clippers. Kawhi isn't playing on a back-to-back-ack-ack-ack-ack-ack. You'd want to force a pal. Who needs a platinum fedora rack? Is that what you get with your money? And it seems like a bad idea to have Melo guard the moon. Hey, if they're posting up, then he's fouling out. Ooh, he's fouling out. Fouling out. Hassan Whiteside is calling for the ball, even though his offense is frightful. He eats food up donuts and goes to strip clubs and loses a lot to some rifle. Dude is more forgetful than an amnesiac. He's dumber than a cow. And if he can't stop, God's going to the rack. The defense is gonna be frightful. It doesn't seem like a remedy if your center commits felonies. And if he don't move his feet, then he's fouling out. He's fouling out. You should go out shopping for a brand new hat, and cover up that brow. They'll never forget Raymond Felton was fat, and he took Paul Allen's money. And if Hezonia's who you sign, oh, a Skylab is years about. I say good luck winning games, cause they're fouling out. Fouling out. They're all fouling out. Ooh, fouling out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.